It's Tuesday. Time for Tom and Shane, Business and Politics. Happy to have you along with us. Thanks for being here. And we'd like to remind you, if you haven't already, you need to subscribe. Ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment. Don't click on the subscribe button on your screen because that's just a graphic. The lower right-hand corner, there's a little tiny subscribe button. And under the video, there's a subscribe button. So be sure and do that. And if you'd like to support us monetarily, there's a link in the description below for Patreon. You can get a bunch of really great stuff. Go over there and look at what Shane and Tom will do for you if you join up and promote us with your hard-earned money. We'll be happy to take it. We do these on StreamYard because it's easy. It's so easy, even I can do it. Shane can do it. Anyone can do it. And there's a link to a free version below in our description. And I want to remind you that Tom and Shane are also on Medium.com. We write on Medium.com. And all of our stuff is over there. And there are links in the description below to go to either of our articles over there. So check that out. And today, we want to talk about seatbelts. Should seatbelts be an option? I think they should be an option. I don't think you should be forced to have airbags and seatbelts if you don't want them, Shane.
Well, there's an added cost. There always is.
Well, there is. You know, big added cost.
The big one is, of the Volvo seatbelt they put in their cars, they're about $843 each.
Yeah.
And Hyundai, surprisingly, they spend about $615 on their seatbelt. Toyota, the Toyota RAV, which is probably the most popular car in the world right now, $147, and the Tacoma, which competes with the Ford 150, probably do better, but they got a 20% tax on them to come into the U.S. $155. So, finally, the Toyota Highlander did about $200. The incredible thing about it is it's not, they're 168, 168 countries in the world, only 28 require seatbelts. Only two-thirds, 63% don't. That's pretty amazing.
There you are. That's proof positive that you don't need them. Well, the other thing too, Shane, the stupid airbags are $400 to $500 added to the cost of the car. So when you couple that with a seatbelt, you're almost a grand.
Yeah, there's no question that it's an added cost. And, it's amazing how different the global approach to this was. Australia was the first in 1964, and Canada, we didn't have it till 76, the United Kingdom till 2006, front and back. Your country, the United States, was, you followed Australia you started the process in 61, then finally in, you got real, real Yankee on it in 84. You got some serious federal laws, but states were passing it anyway.
Yeah. In case you're wondering why Shane is saying you started it, he's in Canada. For those of us who don't know, Shane's in Kamloops, Canada. I'm in Bozeman, Montana. And the other thing we need to look at, Shane, is 23,000 passenger vehicle occupants killed in 2020. 51% were not wearing a seatbelt. But yet in 2016, only 48% died. So I don't know if we're getting better or if we're getting worse. One thing is drivers wearing seatbelts feel more secure and they therefore drive less carefully, leading to more accidents. And I'm that way. I'm invincible when I got my seatbelt and my airbags on. I'm just get out of my way.
Well, the fascinating thing about the industry is there's about seven different types of seatbelts, that you can actually have other than the basic one strap. You can get two straps, four straps, some are six. Car sports, all require four to six straps. It's like putting a parachute on. But with the advent of the airbag, people sort of waned, and that's why they don't wear seatbelts, or because they're overweight or obese and can't. Uh-huh. Don't buy the extension so they can get it on.
Yeah.
And then the other issue that you have with seatbelts, of course, was the requirements for children, particularly in the back seat, and infants, mm-hmm. and car seats, and then car chairs. All of this started happening in the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. you know, when the millennial generation was being born by us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's one of these things that always expands. It's fascinating mm-hmm. to have watched how we go from a basic seatbelt, you know, in the 60s, because I remember in, you know, we had we didn't have bucket seats in our station wagon. We had a, you know, a wide seat up front. Huh?
A bench seat.
A bench seat up front, right? Mm-hmm. My brother and I would literally stand up and lean back on the back of the bench seat while my dad would drive her around, you know, and mm-hmm. back in the 60s, like, you know, any slight break and we would have gone right through the windshield like a torpedo, you know. Like, but, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, we rode in the back of pickup trucks and all that stuff, you know. I mean, I don't know. This is...
I don't even think it's legal in some states to ride in the back of a pickup truck anymore, you know.
Well, the other thing too, Shane, you got to think about, when we were kids, I mean, cars were tanks. I mean, they weren't made in this light aluminum. They were made out of steel. You could walk on the... You can walk on the fenders and never leave a mark.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, the other thing too was, is because of that, accidents, while rare, didn't cause the, you know, the destruction of the car.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could have it remade. I mean, one of the largest small businesses in your country with over 27,000 businesses is auto repair.
Yeah.
But, you know, the auto repair business today isn't the same. I mean, you know, back then they would, you know, press it out and bang it out, and then, you know, they would uh-huh. sand it down and paint it. Today it's just a replacement job.
Yeah.
You know, any panel is replaced. You know, they hook it up to a computer that tells you what's wrong with the machine, you know, with the car and so forth. So it's made to be simplistic, but they charge more because, you know, now they're smart mechanics.
That's true. Yeah. Bruce says, thank you, Ralph Nader. Yeah, I wrote a book on it, Unsafe at Any Speed, way back when. I forget how long it had been, back in the 70s or 60s. I think
it was back in the 60s. Yeah. He was an advocate for car safety. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enough so that he ran for president because of it.
Yeah. It's all about control and power, increase the cost of the vehicle, increase sales tax revenue. Well,
and reduce liability. You know, the car manufacturing industry is so vertically integrated because of how intense it is, that, you know, the capital costs requiring to build cars, they didn't want the liability. So they would rather have the seatbelt and put it in, charge you for it. Then they don't have a liability for hurting or killing, maiming children or whatever, because they didn't have a seatbelt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, you know, protection for industry. You know, industry likes this kind of government.
It's cover your ass is what it is. Yeah.
Well, that's right. And then, they get the government to require it.
Yeah. Do something with that phone.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that. It shouldn't have. Sorry.
That's okay. Well, while you're fixing your phone, vehicle insurance should include an airbag replacement. However, because of the repairs so expensive, it's common for insurance companies to settle on totaling the vehicle instead of fixing the airbags and the seatbelt. So,
which is easier.
And the downside.
Yeah. Well, and remember, recycling's created that opportunity. They don't get anything for the car because, you know, they don't replace it. But, you know, it's easier for the insurance company to help, you know, provide a payout, have the car recycled, basically, right? And then you go buy another one, which helps the industry. So, you know, it's all linked. It's all linked. You know,
it's all linked. Yeah. All linked. Seatbelt use rate in 2021, roughly 90.4%. Experts have found that seatbelt failure is one of the leading causes of serious injury in rollover accidents. So seatbelt failure is an issue as well, Shane. The things aren't things aren't perfect, I guess.
Well, I'm not really sure of that. The problem that I have with that comment is that all these vehicles built today are caged. I mean, the whole concept now in the 21st century is to build a car with a reinforced aluminum cage because everything else is plastic. I mean, you know, you're getting the 80% of the car is made out of, guess what? Petrochemicals, oil.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, oil.
Yeah.
And it's a cage. And then within that cage are balloons that are everywhere. Side balloons, front balloons, bottom, run. So, when you see some of these, go on YouTube. I mean, you can look up airbag accidents, and my gosh, you see the way cars go off cliffs and roll a dozen times, and my goodness, a person gets out and walks away. So, yeah, I think the advent of that problem has more to do with the failure to put the seatbelt on properly, or the person for some reason is thrown from the seatbelt. I think it's a very rare happening to some people.
Well, yeah, it doesn't.
I mean, where are you going to go? I mean, when you have the airbags, the airbags aren't going to let you go.
Well, that's true. Yeah, and a lot of people are injured by the airbags because they come
children
out pretty
especially.
Fast.
Yeah,
children especially get smacked by the airbag, and that's
back in the 90s and into the beginning of the 21st century. They had to a lot of companies had to recall the front passenger airbag in particular. They started at the end of the 90s to consider putting airbags in the back of the front seats, putting passengers in the back, and then they determined it was better to have the airbag on the doors for the back seats that popped out within an L shape as opposed to a balloon shape, so it didn't hit the child sitting in the seat because of the danger.
Yeah.
Pretty good engineering. Yeah. They get it. They figure out the liability.
Well, I still think they should be an option. I think you should go with them or go without them if you want to. I think you should have that option.
Seatbelts? You've talked about it. You're so wacko. Like, I mean, an option, right? Do I want an option to save my life or to die? Okay, let's see. I think, I'll take the option to die. I want to pay more insurance or not have insurance because I don't have seatbelts. My kids, I don't really care much about my kids. Oh, my neighbor's kids, I don't care about them.
Well, you must be an awful driver if that's what you're thinking, that you're going to get in your
car.
I
haven't had a car since 1997. I don't need one.
Well, I know that. Your chauffeur takes you everywhere.
No, I live in cities with mass transit. I mean, Vancouver had the largest above-ground rail system in the world. Don't need buses. I don't need them. I have free bus pass up here where I am in Kamloops. It takes me everywhere. Anywhere else I walk I get out and walk, exercise. It's called exercise, Tom.
Well, that stuff will kill you. What are you doing that for?
Like to believe it keeps me alive, but it also makes me feel better. So.
Are there seat belts in the mass transit and on the buses?
No, but there's lots of rails, and I always find seats that I know will protect me and because I'm very cautious of that.
The seat will protect you. How's that happen?
Well, no, seats and there's different types of padding on our buses, like for people that may get on with, wheelchairs or mothers with their kids, carrying. So, I sit by one of those and I make sure I hold on to bars. I'm very cognizant of it. Okay. I always sit on the street side. I don't sit on the roadside ever.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. I still think people should have the option to live their lives as they see fit without the government stepping in and forcing them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Well, it does. See, so.
No.
Because I drive safely. I've been in Montana 30 years. I've never had a ticket. I've never been stopped.
There's nobody there. I mean,
well, I said,
you know everybody you're driving by. That's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, you know whether they're You know whether they've been drinking or not. That's how well,
well
you know
true.
Everyone.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, pull off of, you know, certain people.
There's 350 million people in the country and a billion cars in the world. So no one much cares about where you live and, you know, where there's no traffic. I mean, you're more likely to pass a horse in where you live than you are a car.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm more likely to run into a deer than I am to run into another car.
Hey, I have actually an elk.
I've been a deer. Yeah,
scary.
I've been a deer before.
Elk. I mean, elk, you know, they're 7 foot to the shoulder. You know, most deer are 5 feet to the shoulder. So, I mean, that's right. I mean, so they're at that height. If they're in front of you, you're taking out their legs and the body comes onto the hood. So, you're lucky if you hit a deer or an elk and it moves away from you because a lot of times, especially, you know, if they're not molting and they have antlers and happen to come up on the,
you get those
come through
as well.
The windshield, come through the windshield and they'll
tail you.
Several times potentially.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know. Motorcycles don't require seatbelts. Bicycles don't require seatbelts, but they haven't.
All right, like that's
shopping
you want to be
kids.
Tied to a motorcycle when you get
well tied to my car.
You know, we want people to watch this show because we make sense. You're going like way out on
that. You think so? Yeah.
It's not even a branch. It's like a little, it's just like a vine.
A sprig.
Seatbelt on a motorcycle. And in fact, I'm pretty sure you're required to wear a seatbelt in the sidecar of a motorcycle.
That could be. I don't know. Never had a sidecar, so I'm not sure on that one. So, don't know. But I know they do have them in shopping carts for the kids. You know, they got the little feet things in there, and
liability. Yeah,
you gotta bolt the kid in the shopping cart because who knows? I mean, someone may just be running down the aisle with their cart and slam into.
No, that's not why, Tom. Come on, be sensible. They have that on there so. If the kid climbs out because you're picking something off the shelf and falls down and hits their head on the ground, you don't sue them. Yeah. So, now you lock your kid in the cart so he can't climb out and they don't have the liability because kids that size, toddlers, they're constant. They're constantly moving. They're curious.
Right. Yeah.
So you got to lock them in,
Well, I would say so. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure the little nylon belt is going to hold them in, but maybe it will.
Of course it will. And if you go in now to any supermarket, they won't let you or you're not supposed to have your kids in the stand in the cart.
Yeah.
Stand in it. So they don't even like you having the kids hang on the side of the cart and drive.
I know. Yeah.
There's signs up in stores. You'd be loath to find them, but they're there. Say, don't do this,
Now we'll see. So Tom made it back from Vietnam. That was 50-50. And with him being the biggest target in the platoon, I was the biggest target out there. So it was, so lucky to make it back from that. We didn't have seatbelts in Vietnam either, by the way. So
nobody cut. And that's why you flew by the seat of your pants.
That's it.
It was an amazing thing.
Because you had to exit the vehicle quickly in some cases.
That's right. And we're grateful and welcome home. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm happy to be here. Yeah. But, I don't know if we've solved anything here today, and I'm being a little
this. Since someone brought that up, it's a good thing to consider in this conversation, too. So you come home from Vietnam. And you do this because you want to believe that you want to protect the Constitution and the freedoms and the rights of the American people. And you're doing your part to do that. And history has shown that the people that serve their country, protect their country, save their country. And then you come home and you've spent your life and you go through this process of seeing people in all stages of life, in all types of businesses. Uh-huh. And you wonder, how many of them are free? How many of them are grateful? How many of them think about the fact that people have died so they can doing what they want. If they had to do it all over again, would they be choosing to do what they're doing? But if they knew what their life would be and had a second chance, would they choose what they're doing? So when you deal with today's society, do you ever think about the fact that sometimes you wonder, did I do the right thing? Because I'm not sure a lot of Americans appreciate or are gratuitous enough to admit that you've provided them all these free choices, and some of them have made really bad ones.
Well, yeah. No, we're getting off the topic here a little bit, but
I know, but yeah. I like to nail your butt to the wall if I can.
I did write about coming back from Vietnam. That before I went, I was a 20, probably, I think, something like that. Spoiled, self-centered, egotistical. World.
Not much has changed, right?
No, I know. Not much has changed. Yeah, the world owes me everything.
That's right.
And, going somewhere else where you don't have, where you don't have ice is kind of a wake-up call as to, hey, that friggin' America, that's a pretty good deal.
Well, yeah, but they got you into shape and you became personally responsible. You learned how to make a bed, do laundry. You learned how to properly exercise because, you can hurt yourself if you don't.
Well, I was in construction, so. Yeah.
Oh, you were in construction.
I got a lot of exercise, so yeah.
And you were outdoors. Those are the best jobs, man. When you work, outdoors. That's why I like the restaurant industry because I was constantly moving. I was on my feet. I spent years, as a suit sitting in a chair. It wasn't bad, but you got to get out and exercise.
Well, you got to let Denise get in here. You two make a great team. So there we are. So we do.
Ooh, yeah. Well, look at
after how many day. How many years together? 20 at least. Close to 20, probably full time. 12 at least.
Yeah,
I think something like that. Yep. So,
2010. Yeah.
We're live every Saturday on radio. You can hear us anywhere in the world. 3 hours Saturday morning, 8 to 11 Mountain Time at KMMSAM.com.
Waste your time. I mean, we never talk about the same thing. You hear it enough on all the networks, because they have nothing else to talk about, and they have no one to write content, so they just read teleprompters.
Every news show leads with the same story. I mean, come
that's
on.
Right. Teleprompters, no script. We're just right off it, man. Let's get it done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Extemporaneous conversation, it's called.
That's for sure. And we talk about things no one else is talking about normally. So maybe they're not talking about it because it's boring. I don't know, but.
No, it's the reason I'm talking about it is that, we disarm a lot of the ghost stories you're listening to every day. And we come up with the facts and the information to provide you with the opportunity to make your own choice and what you're listening to. So that's a good thing. And we have a library that'll be there for you and your family forever.
That's true. Well, we should probably do a little self-promotion here then, Shane, because
you're great.
The award-winning Tom and Shane, as I mentioned, aforementioned, are on live every Saturday, 8 to 11. Go to KMMSAM.com, click listen now. There's nothing to join, no sign up, no email, no nothing. All you do is listen. You can call us. You can text us. It's an amazing opportunity to... have your voice heard all over the world. And our past shows are also at KMMSAM.com. Go over there and just click on Tom and Shane's podcast. We just passed 9,200 downloads of our 750 episodes, I believe. So if you want to see what we do on Saturday, head over there and check out one of our Saturday shows. They're commercial free.
And come participate because you can call in live. It's live radio. So give them the number, Tom, because anywhere in North America you can call. Dial this number.
Yeah. All you got to remember is two numbers, really. You got to remember 406, the area code, And 522 is the prefix, and talk is the last four. 406-522-TALK is all you got to remember. So, and if you're uncomfortable talking on the air, we also have a text line, 406-478-8298. And you can text us, so you don't have to be on the air, and we'll read your text over the air. So, pretty cool.
There you go. Yeah, participate. You know, you're all doing it now. After what you found out they were doing with your kids at school, you finally got involved.
That's right. And your kids don't have any seat belts or anything. They got no protection at all. So, all right. That's going to wrap it up for us today. So thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Hey, don't forget to subscribe and ring the notification bell. Like us. Leave a comment because they like that kind of stuff. And we will see you on Thursday. We're going to talk about the Fourth Amendment on Thursday. So join us then, same time, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, on YouTube, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter. We're also on iHeartRadio, and we're at KMMSAM.com. So we'll see you on the next podcast. Bye for now.